Please enjoy this music video.
There's a flower in the smallest garden, reaching for the light. There's a candle in the darkest corner, conquering the night. There is amazing strength and a willing hand. There are victories that you've now planned as a
We continue with another video that again emphasizes the hero.
I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old and I was in school and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me and they'd say, "Hey, stop tapping." A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me and they would yell at me and they'd say, "Clint, you have to stop tapping." It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, "Okay, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands." So I did. I went back to class, and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands, and that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class, and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, looked at me, and he yelled. And he said, "Clint, stay after class." And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me, and I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, "Clint, come here. I want to talk to you." And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, "Now, I need you to know something. You're not in trouble. But I do have just one question that I have to ask you." And he asked, he said, "Have you ever thought about playing the drums?" And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer." Never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, and played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
Well, today, as I said, is November 1st, which is All Saints Day. And we're going to talk about saints, and we're going to talk about angels, and we're going to talk about heroes, because our topic today is, what color is your halo? I know it sounds crazy, but I still can recall my first day of school in first grade. Well, actually, all I can recall from that day was the beginning couple of minutes. We were all little folks back then sitting at our desks, and our seats were wooden benches that were affixed attached to the desk behind us, and they were much wider than what we needed. As I said, we were all pretty small in body back then. Anyway, the nun opened the class with a prayer. I don't recall what the prayer was. She then instructed us not to sit in the middle of our seats. She told us to move over to one side and to make room for our guardian angels to sit alongside of us. I do not recall everything that I thought or I felt at that moment. All I know is that I scooted over to one side, as did everybody in the class. And I turned to try to see who or what might be next to me. I wanted to see what was, of course, just not visible. I saw nothing, but it didn't make a difference. I believed. I had a guardian angel. I felt warm and protected. And I felt very special. I don't know when I stopped believing that I had a guardian angel or that I stopped believing in angels in general, but I did. I became an unbeliever at some point in my grammar school experience, or at least I stopped giving angels a thought. And certainly, I had dismissed any notions of angels being real by the time I was in high school. But I always have been fascinated by the stories, the movies that had angels in them. There were movies like The Bishop's Wife, or the remake of that, which is just as good, The Preacher's Wife. And who can ever forget Clarence, Angel, Second Class, AS2, in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And of course, the image of Charlie's angels will forever remain embedded in my psyche, but that's a whole different story. As I say, while I always enjoyed the stories about angels, for the most of my adult life, I just did not believe in them. But now today, I have an announcement. Once again, I am a believer. And just as I cannot recall when I stopped believing in them, I really can't say why, how, or when I started believing in them again, but I did. I could only guess that I became a second-time believer when I could no longer dismiss what was staring me in the face. And part of what had been blinding me during my years of disbelief was the lens that I had been given and I was holding onto insofar as angels are supposed to look like. I was picturing creatures clothed in white satiny gowns with majestic feathery wings and, of course, a beautiful halo. And if you want to embellish the picture a bit, add a golden harp and maybe a fluffy white cloud. And as I said, this was the picture in my own mind's eye that served as the basis for my disbelief. So angels more or less fell into the same category in my head as fairy tale characters, something like your fairy godmothers. They make for fun stories, but they're not really to be taken seriously. So what changed for me? Well, after all that, why do I once again believe in angels? And by the way, why do I believe in saints, which I do? I think a good place to start in answering these questions is the scriptures where angels play such a very important role. In almost every reference to angels, they are messengers sent by God. And these messengers appeared many times in the Hebrew scriptures to people like Hagar, who was the slave girl for Abraham and Sarah, and to Abraham to tell him, no, it's okay, you really don't have to sacrifice your son, and to so many other people that were called upon by God. They are also referenced in the Psalms as beings created by God to play important roles in God's relationships with us and with the world. And perhaps the most intriguing story in the Hebrew scriptures that relates to angels is the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob travels up to Mount Haran, symbolizing metaphysically a rise in consciousness. But as he gets near the top, he grows weary, he gets tired, symbolizing a return to a lower consciousness. And so he goes to sleep and he takes a large stone and uses it as his pillow. The rock still holds the heat of the sun as he lays his head upon it. And he goes to sleep. And he dreams of a ladder that extends all the way from earth up into the heavens. And on either side of the ladder, there are angels scurrying about up and down. And those symbolize our prayers offered to God and God's answers to the prayers that are sent back down to us. So when Jacob awakes, he's just absolutely overwhelmed with excitement and enthusiasm because of his dream, and he proclaims, surely God's presence dwells in this place. And he then goes about consecrating that place by sprinkling oil on the rock that served as his pillow. In the New Testament, angels deliver messages to many people. To Zechariah, who was told that he was going to father a son that ended up being John the Baptist. Joseph was visited by an angel on three separate occasions. Angels appeared to the shepherds in Bethlehem, singing out that Jesus had been born. They also come and attend to Jesus after he has been tempted by Satan. And I particularly like that reference. We can all use a little TLC after an encounter with something that was not so pleasant in our life. And of course, one gospel account has angels or messengers in the tomb after Jesus rises from the dead. Angels are used a lot to proclaim the good news of the Gospels. None of these scriptural references make mention of anything like feathery wings or halos. Still, you have to admit that the sudden appearance out of the blue by some strange unknown being would freak most of us out. But if you want to consider believing in angels or saints, maybe you have to consider the possibility that the extraordinary happens more regularly in the world than we might normally think. And that's because our brains always are programmed to take whatever comes at us, categorize what it is that we experience in worldly terms, and fit them into some predetermined boxes of some sort. If you truly want to see angels, we have to look not to fluffy white clouds in the sky, but more down to earth. Heroes always rise up from the depths. There's a classic old movie called Angels with Dirty Faces. It's about the kids in the Bronx in the city of New York. In the video clip that I showed, which is called Be a Mr. Jensen, Mr. Jensen may not have realized it, but he was an angel in the truest sense. He sent a divine message to that young boy. You do not have a problem. You have a divine gift. You are a drummer. And he turned that young boy's life around. When I was living in Kansas City, while going to school, a local news story was published. A homeless person, a beggar, found a diamond engagement ring among the coins that he had collected. He took it to a jewelry store and it was appraised. It was worth thousands of dollars. So somehow he managed to trace it down to a woman who accidentally had the ring slip off of her finger when she was sharing some coins with the man. And he returned the ring to her. I love this story because it features not one but two angels. The lady who was so moved to compassion, and the homeless person who was inspired by gratitude and also with an understanding and not wanting the woman to suffer what she had no intention of losing. They don't often show it on the 10 o'clock news, but there are real life stories that take place all the time. Stories about the angels among us. There was a story about a first grader who is diagnosed with a rare form of cancer and has to undergo chemotherapy. His best friend at school had his father shave his head so his friend would not feel alone. A stranger shows up out of nowhere and asks to be tested at a hospital to see if, in fact, he is a compatible donor for a woman who's in need of a kidney to save her life. The Make-A-Wish Foundation one time picked a boy who was terminally ill to have his wish come true. He uses his wish to throw a festive celebration for the whole school that he was attending. Many years ago, my then father-in-law, was coming out of the Jewel, and he was approached by a woman with her young daughter at her side, and she said, "Please, could you possibly spare any change for me?" And my father-in-law responded by placing his groceries that he had bought in the trunk of his car, turned around, escorted the woman back into the store, got a shopping cart, and filled it to the top with nutritional food for her and her daughter. He then sent her on her way, giving her some dollars to have in her pocket to boot. In my own life, I've been influenced by many angels. I've been mentored by an angel. Somebody sent a message to me. You can be so much more than what you see when you look around you. The world is so much greater and is filled with possibilities. He openly encouraged me to go for it in everything that I did. My education, my reading habits, my relationships, everything. He believed in me and challenged me to believe in myself. When we experience these things or witness them, we may not think angels and saints, but that's exactly what they are. There's so much pain, so much conflict, so much of it's all about me that's going on in the world, that finding an angel in the world might seem a bit challenging. It's almost like that game, Where's Waldo? In which you have to find Waldo in the midst of all of the clutter, all of the noise, and all of the camouflage. But they are there. Angels abound. I have witnessed countless angels within our own Unity of Fox Valley family. It absolutely blows me away. All somebody in our community has to do is sniff that someone else is in trouble, and they are there, fully present, on the spot. I want to help. What can I do to help? If we return to the scriptures, there are three very prominent features of angels. And if you're looking to see an angel in your life, perhaps these will help you. The first is that they pretty much bring good news. The angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherd and tells them, I bring good news. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and said, you will give birth to a son, and he will become the Messiah that we have been long awaiting. Two angels sitting in the tomb of Jesus send the message, he is not here, for he has risen. The second message that angels generally deliver is, do not be afraid. Those shepherds in the field trembled when the angel first appeared, and the angel reassured them. Joseph was reassured that everything was going to be okay. Go with the program. Don't be afraid. Just go with it, as crazy as it may sound, as crazy it may seem to you. Everything is as it should be. But perhaps the most important message that the angel brings is this. You are worthwhile. You are worthy. We are bringing this divine message to you from God precisely because of who you are. Regardless of how you have been thinking or think about yourself, God or Spirit knows you. You dwell in the heart of God. God is telling you, hey, you got this. Imagine this message coming to a young Jewish girl who may not have been any more than 12 or 13 years old, and mired in a culture in which most of her life already has been prescribed for her. And it didn't include birthing a Savior. You are worthy. Imagine this message coming to you when most of your life you may have been told one way or another how much you don't count. What you think is of no importance. Your feelings do not matter. Do not dare to dream. You are not good enough. You are lacking. And of course, the king of them all, you are a sinner. You may have heard such messages directly or indirectly. They come to us from loved ones. They come to us from authority figures. They come to us from institutions that we seem to think have control over us. And of course, on occasion, they come out of the mouths of people that we really don't know. You may have experienced such messages painfully, because at times in your life you have been objectified or maybe even abused in some way. But we are approached by angels almost always. If you want to know why you have trouble seeing them and believing in them, it's not because you cannot see wings or halos. The most difficult part of answering a call from God that comes to us through an angel isn't what we are actually called to do. It's that preliminary part, the message from the angel that we are worthwhile and therefore the right person. It's that part that tells us that we sometimes have to question or we feel we can't trust that part that comes to us that tells us that we are lovable, that we are loved, and that we are capable of loving beyond imagination. Sometimes it is the angel within that we have the hardest time trusting and believing. Today is the feast of All Saints' Day. Traditionally, it's a day that we remember and honor those that have gone before us and theoretically are wearing halos. But you don't have to die to wear your halo. We are here to live in the kingdom of heaven now, in this lifetime. Saints are recognized and honored not because they died, but rather because of how they lived. 2,000 years ago, a young Jewish girl was singled out to give birth to the Christ. We are called to do nothing less. Perhaps more than ever, the world cries out for the Christ to be rebirthed, to become physically manifest in the world. This is meant to happen in you, with you, through you. This is good news. Do not be afraid. You are worthwhile. You got this. And so it is. Amen. Let's take it to prayer and meditation.